Cambridge 105 Radio.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and welcome to Behind the Bike Shed. My name's Phil Minot. I'm delighted to say, joining us on this rather chilly evening in their own bike sheds for social distancing reasons, we have regular mechanicking Rob Turner. He's back to help us from the Outspoken team here in Cambridge. Martin Holland, he's sitting in his shed, his bicycle shed in the middle of the Fens. He's a member of Ely Cycling Club. He's a regular as well. It's good to have you back. And also joining us for the first time, but not the first time here on Cambridge 105 Radio, is Sam Davis, a former presenter of the radio station, but has gone on to do far better, greater, more important things in her community, for which she was awarded an MBE. And she asked me not to tell you that, but I think well done, Sam. She's also a very keen, enthusiastic cyclist herself, with a cycling family, a sporting background from her boys and her husband anyway, and she certainly cycles around town a lot, and she does a lot in her community. She's going to be our guest on a bicycle today, and not only that, she's going to be telling us how cycling fits in snugly into Queen Edith's, which of course is a very interesting ward because it has the Adam Brooks campus there, doesn't it, and the biomedical campus. So it's a special good evening to all my guests. First of all, let's start with you, Sam. Sam, how are you? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, Phil.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I know I won't mention the MBE anymore because you asked me not to.
Yeah, that's right.
I have to say congratulations and well rewarded. I think anyone who knows you will probably know why you got that, for certainly services you've done. You are very much an advocate, aren't you, for cycling, not just in Queen Edith's but across the whole of Cambridge.
I think cycling in Cambridge makes a lot of sense, and given the growth rate that the city's already had to absorb and will have to absorb in the future, cycling has to play a really important part in that mix.
And as I mentioned in the intro there, you mean your family, isn't it? Your children and your husband were, certainly for a little while, were very keen sporting cyclists.
Yeah, so I came to Cambridge to go to university, and I knew how to ride a bike, but I hadn't cycled particularly before I got here. And when I graduated and I met the guy who's now my husband, that was when my cycling education really started, because he'd spent his 20s cycling across the Nullarbor, across the Sahara, across the States, and he really opened my eyes to the possibility of bicycle as a way of exploring the world. That was a fantastic opportunity to take advantage of, and when we had a family, we've tried to bring them up in line with that.
So we'll be chatting some more about that. I'm just thinking, actually, maybe, no disrespect, maybe we should have asked your husband on as a guest as well.
I think you should have done. He's much more interesting.
No, far from it. Rob, Happy New Year to you, my friend. Thank you for coming
back
yet again.
Happy New Year, Bill.
Yeah, how's it going in the bike industry? Third lockdown.
Well, lockdown again, but repairs keep rolling in. People seem to be relying on their bikes more, both for exercise and for transport. You feel safer on a bike, I think, out in the open air. So, yes, parts of the business are depressed, others are going well. So, yes, we're lucky in all sorts of ways to have a business still open.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you should mention that. It's quite a healthy way to travel, as we well know, on a bicycle, because part of the empire you work and help run, you do have a very active, don't you, courier service there, using bicycles and cargo bikes.
Yes, they've been very well used. I think they've been busy, particularly in the Christmas period. Other parts of the business, the training department, has been doing little. It's been very difficult to train in this train people in this environment. But yes, certainly keep bicycles going. That's our motto at the moment.
It is, but the reason I mentioned the delivery courier service part of the business is there's, on one of the other news sites, there's quite a good video at the moment, because a London-based courier service, because their business has dropped off to about 95% of what it would have been in normal times. I guess that's because it's London and a lot of people are now working from home and not travelling into the city for that. What they've done is that they're actually now providing transport for vulnerable people, such as cancer patients, who obviously don't have any choice because they have to go to their appointments and their checkups and stuff at hospital. But it's actually suggested that sitting outside on a bicycle, a cargo bike, which has been converted, I guess it's sort of been converted to like a sort of trishaw type system.
That's right. It's a good repurposing of their equipment, really.
Yeah, and a business plan
on the front of their bikes, rather than the box for delivering goods. They have the seat for delivering people.
And presumably this must be fast. I'm not qualified in these things, but I'd assume this is a lot safer for you if you're a vulnerable person than trying to get on public transport or going on a Uber.
Absolutely, open air, and you're out there with the traffic. You're moving faster. There's not as much traffic around anyway in London at the moment.
And we just heard on the news. On the national news there from London News Centre that one of the major bus companies are now going to be stopping doing some of their major routes purely because no one wants to go on public transport. So bicycles are offering a solution there, aren't they? Martin, and I have to point out to our listeners, Martin is sitting in the Fens and he's just disappeared from my screen. So not sure what's happened there. Maybe one of the swans from Welney, the Welney Wetland Trust, has landed somewhere and lost his connection. So we'll join Martin in a moment. What am I going to say, though? If you have tuned in tonight, thank you very much. And we know we are once again picking up an amazing, amazing number of people who are contacting the program and stuff out off air and want to be part of it. So thank you for that. And I should tell you, as we get towards the end of today's program, some of the great names we've got lining up who just basically want to come on this program. So thank you, guys. We appreciate that. Guys and, of course, ladies as well. Now, this is the point. So if you are a sporting cyclist or indeed any cyclist, here is some very important guidance for you. If you intend to go out on your bike, out and about on your bicycle over the next few weeks of lockdown. Now, the great news is you are permitted to ride your bicycle. And obviously, it's a great thing. The more people who ride a bicycle, I bet it's going to be for everyone, for the health benefits, which Rob just mentioned, and just well-being. I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit later. First of all, now, unless you're going to go cycling with someone from your household or your support bubble or with one other person, you should only ride alone. I think that sense. I'm just going to cut in because, Martin, you joined us again.
I don't know what happened there. I lost my internet for some reason.
We lost you. You're very faint, my friend. Can you just lean forward to your microphone, please? Just try that again.
It's under my chin. That's it. So, yeah, I lost the internet. Sorry.
Yeah, try it again.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I have to say, you're obviously a long way out in the Fens, a long way from Cambridge, because the sun's still setting behind you on your screen. I have to explain to the listeners, he's got one of these really weird screens on the background of his Zoom he's put up, but his head keeps disappearing. So it's but maybe that's something they do out of Haddonham at this time of year. Who are we to ask? Martin, we were just chatting about the British cycling guidance for going out and about cycling in these COVID times. I've done the first rule, you should only ride alone or with your household support bubble or one other person. Stay local, ride within your limits and ensure you are self-sufficient. What would you describe as self-sufficient, Martin, as a sporting cyclist?
Have at least one spare in a tube or some way of repairing punctures. Basic tools as well, so you can get yourself home. But probably more important than that is make sure your bike's nice and roadworthy before you set off, so you're not going to have any problems when you're out and about.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's quite important. And, you know, it's quite important to stay local, isn't it, for obvious reasons. And I suspect really the thing to do is, you know, try to do the loops if you need to go out. Just do loops, and hopefully that way you won't have so far to walk home if you do have a mechanical, isn't it? Now, they're saying you should only leave your home once a day to exercise, and the obvious thing is keep a safe distance from others and practice good hygiene. Well, I'm not sure sporting cyclists if we can do that. But it's you can't spit and use a tissue. Do people still spit? That's disgusting. Do people still spit?
Yeah.
No, we move on from that one. So as we said, you can only leave
your nose under your clothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because when we used to ride in groups, you used to write your nose on the person in front, didn't you? But that's for
Might have done.
Yeah. We're talking about club cycling, Rob, not the sort of nice cycling you do. Yeah,
not my urban cycling.
No, exactly. Yeah. I think these rules are good for everyone. Anything. Now you are encouraged to cycle anyway, particularly if you need to travel, such as work or go to the shops. But I do think personally, it'd be quite interesting to hear what our panel. What would you, in your own head, think as local, Rob?
Local is around Cambridge, I'd say, sort of that's my sort of normal stamping ground on a bike. But yeah, it depends. If you've got the afternoon, you go a bit further, perhaps out to Wickham Fen or something.
Okay. Well, with and Sam, what would your definition be as local if you were going out cycling?
Into town. I don't head out into the countryside on a bike. I'll happily walk it, but I heard your interview a couple of weeks ago with some very feisty ladies who were talking about their indignation that male club cyclists might think that they weren't capable of doing repairs and so on. I'm afraid to say I am one of those useless women who would be dependent, so I just don't head out into the countryside, and then someone can come and retrieve me if I need.
There are just as many useless men.
Yes. I was thinking about that myself, actually. There you go. I won't talk about the shelves and the number of emails I've had to. But I'm trying to put some shelves up, but that's a different story. That was Becky Hare you were chatting to, and Rachel Davis who were here. And Becky Hare actually is a really good ambassador for cycling and women cycling, and it's done very much in the spirit of men and women cycling together, to be fair, I'd give her a due. I think the definition is still out, really, what is local, but I'm not going to bang on about this, but it's so important that as cyclists we ensure we go out and cycle to stay healthy, but we don't end up in Addenbrookes, which is our local hospital here in Cambridge. So the whole point is that whatever you're doing for your exercise, make sure you don't end up in the hospital. Martin, do you think if people want to do some endurance riding this time of year, then perhaps they should just stick to the rollers?
Probably, yeah. I've spent most, if I ride my bike at the moment, I use the turbo trainer with a Zwift setup. If I do go, I mean, where I live, we sort of rode to few and far between, so you sort of finish up doing a 20-30 mile loop and go around the side of Ely. That's local to me, so it's how I think of things. So. Rightly or wrongly, I don't know, but
yeah, well, that makes sense. Well done. Yeah, we'll go along with that one. You are listening to Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105 Radio, and joining me in the studio, I'd like to say, is Sam Davis. Who, Sam, before now, you were a former presenter, weren't you, on Cambridge 105?
Yeah, back in about 2012, 2013.
Oh, in the early days.
Presented a show called In Your Company, where I got to go and talk to lots of different participants, big and small, in the Cambridge business community and find out what they were up to. So very fond of Cambridge 105 and think you do a fantastic job. There you are. Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm sure by when you say you, what you actually mean is the station does a good job. I've got a feeling you weren't actually talking about me there, were you?
You can interpret it how you like.
Yeah, we will do. Okay, coming up soon, we shall be playing Spin That Wheel. Are you excited, Rob?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, a bit more enthusiasm next time.
105. Cambridge 105 Radio.
The first bookmark of the new year is about as eclectic as you can get. Our featured guest is historian Seb Falk, talking about his book The Light Ages, which examines the discoveries made by medieval scientists, mathematicians and astronomers. Mark Dowd chats about his memoir, A Reflection on Growing Up as a Gay Man in the Catholic Church. And Daphne Astor, along with poet Anna Selby, explain the principles behind Hazel Press, a brand new publishing house based in Cambridgeshire. There really is something for everyone. So save the page for Bookmark with me, Lee Chambers, this Sunday morning at 11.
Our aspirations, wrapped up in books.
What does wealth mean to you? Security, health, choices. Good financial planning can provide the freedom and peace of mind to live life your way. At Schroders Personal Wealth, we have an advisor based in Cambridge who can work with you to create your own personal plan. So whatever wealth means to you, we're here to help you feel confident in your financial future. To arrange an initial no-obligation, no-cost conversation with your local advisor, please contact us on 01223 739 790 or visit spw.com. Schroders Personal Wealth. Wealth is personal. Eligibility criteria, fees and charges apply.
Just the flu. People say it every year. But in an average year, the flu kills 11,000 people and hospitalises tens of thousands more. There's no just about it. Flu is a virus that can cause serious complications. That's why we offer you the flu vaccine free. It's for your very best protection. Ask your pharmacist or GP if you're eligible for the free flu vaccine. NHS. To protect against flu, help us help you.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Guest on a bicycle.
Yes, the time of the programme when we get to meet today's guest on a bicycle, who of course we have heard from already, I'm delighted to say, Sam Davis, MBE, who is a very who is a very active member of the Queen Edith community here in Cambridge. And you did stand as an independent councillor, didn't you?
I did in May 2019. I felt that our ward was not being as well represented as perhaps it might be. For those of you who don't know where Queen Edith is, we are the area immediately east of the biomedical campus, and because of the changes that are happening on the campus, it's a neighbourhood which is experiencing all sorts of development pressures, endless transport schemes coming through. Not saying all of them are bad, but cumulatively they have a huge impact, and I feel like Queen Edith has been a bit overlooked in terms of how the neighbourhood functions in the face of all of that pressure. So I decided, has to be said at fairly short notice, to stand as an independent, to just present a possible alternative to people who are a bit fed up with what was going on. And really enjoyed it, really positive experience, would thoroughly recommend it to anyone who feels that's the way they could make a contribution to their community.
And is that why you are now so active in the Queen Edith ward, or
no,
were you active prior to that?
No, I was active prior to that. So I've been chair of an organisation called the Queen Edith Community Forum since 2015. And when I took that on with a couple of other very energetic people, we thought it was all going to be about organising events, bring people together and having fun. And then a couple of years in, the penny dropped that because of the endless development pressures in the area, we had to be paying more attention to the impact of those things as well. So we're not a campaigning organisation, but we work very hard to make sure that people in the neighbourhood know what's going on and understand how, if they have an opinion, they can get their voice heard. So we've got busways, greenways, the lucky recipients of the Dutch roundabout, the Hills Road cycleways, which took, you know, four times as long as they were supposed to go in. It's non-stop, and just being on top of all of that and helping people feel that they have some kind of understanding of what's happening in the area immediately around them is very important.
Now, the bicycle, I would imagine your ward or Queen Edith's ward, the thing about Queen Edith's is, how chaotic or more chaotic do you think your local area would be if there wasn't such a instrument as a bicycle?
No one would get anywhere. People barely get anywhere for several hours of the day anyway. But without the contribution of people who choose to cycle, we would be completely screwed. Just a technical term.
That's fine. Yeah, I wonder what you're going to say actually for a minute. So on the bicycle front, how many people in your area do you think actually use a bicycle regularly, even?
Quite a lot, isn't it?
Quite a lot. Yeah, I would struggle to put a percentage on it. I don't know that data is available, is it? I mean, the county council do sort of counts on the radial roads and stuff, but there aren't any. I don't think there's any mechanism for capturing that other than the census on a ward basis. But a lot, yes, for sure.
I think Addenbrookes collects some stats. What they are, I've got no idea, but there's something being counted up there.
For the staff, yes. I assume the question was about, this is interesting, isn't it? Queen Edith is more than the hospital, but that's where the focus of attention always is. And then the residential neighbourhood is kind of the afterthought.
So we're going to chat about Addenbrookes and the biomedical campus. Obviously, Addenbrookes is on the biomedical campus. I'll make that clear before people. It's Cambridge, so someone's bound to email me before the programme's finished if I don't get that right. And we realise now we're going to be talking about Addenbrookes and cycling, and we all know there's things to be improved there. But I will say before we get any further into this conversation, all of us here know how hard the individuals at Addenbrookes, whether they are support staff, frontline staff, working on the car parks, whatever they do, we know how hard you're all working. This isn't any observation which may be negative, is about what's happening there at this precise moment. This is going forward and how things can be improved. I think you'd agree with that, Sam, wouldn't you, before we go further?
Oh, absolutely. I think about it as a system and part of the bigger system of how people can move around, you know, what we've come to love to know as Greater Cambridge beyond.
I was once told by a city planner who was telling me that the bicycle should be if you look on any street plan as if it's a mechanical machine, then you should look on the bicycle. It's actually bicycles, individual bicycle is a droplet of water, which is part of a droplet of oil, which is there to keep everything else working properly.
A lubricant.
A lubricant. Thank you. Well done, Rob. I'm sure you stock that as well and sell that, don't you? So, Sam, Addenbrookes, what are the good points about Addenbrookes Hospital? And I'm saying this because I know on your blog, you have blogged about the issues there quite often and with a bicycle. What are the plus points about cycling and Addenbrookes?
That people do it despite the barriers which might put them off. I know that on previous shows you've had a bit of a theme going about cycle parking on Addenbrookes. I mean, I'm lucky, I'm close enough to the site that if I need to go there, I could walk. But I really feel for people who have to leave their bikes there. I've seen all sorts of reports of people coming out at the end of a 12-hour shift and finding that someone's nicked their bike and they're stuck. You know, the cycle parking for visitors is not going to encourage anyone to go by bike if they can find an alternative. Navigating round the site is a nightmare on foot or by bike. They have a project which is supposed to be kicking off shortly about improving signposting and wayfinding, and I'm hoping that will make a difference over time. I don't think there's any lack of recognition of what needs to happen. I think there's an acute shortage of funds on the NHS side of things, And the bigger campus is kind of amorphous. It's a jellyfish. You can't get hold of it. If you want a decision taken, who do you talk to? It doesn't exist as anything other than a concept, and the developers certainly don't want to know. I mean, there was the whole kerfuffle this time last year when the developers just stuck that barrier in at the foot of the guided busway bridge by the crossing. And it was a hell of a job to get them to accept any responsibility for taking it out. So it's a very difficult site, because regardless of, you know, any amount of goodwill, what it needs is someone to take responsibility for it, provide a budget and have some accountability. And that seems to be something that they really struggle with at the moment.
That's a really interesting point you've raised there, because if that is the case, because there definitely is the image that, because of the signage and the branding of the area, that it is actually like under one umbrella and there's one person making all the decisions. But from what you've just said, that's not your experience.
No, and you know, there's a video on my blog where I talk about a particular location where it would be really helpful if there was a pedestrian crossing put in. And I talked to one of the commercial partners in the campus, and each of the partners had been asked to stump up a really relatively small amount of money to get this zebra crossing put in. But because the NHS partners literally didn't have the budget line to be able to spend on that, the crossing never went in. And it's things like that. It's a very, very, very strange beast when it comes to decision making and accountability.
So as a member of a local community who obviously is, dare I say, an unofficial voice, I guess, in a way, of the community as far as officialdom looks in on these things, that must be quite frustrating when you're trying to get a cycling point across.
It's extremely frustrating. There are people with whom, after a lot of hunting around, I've managed to establish good channels of communication, and we understand, you know, how the campus and the neighbourhood can help each other. But the overriding experience, at least sort of in the early days when I was doing this, was that the campus, which, let's face it, is going to employ 30,000 people in a relatively few years, organises itself and thinks of itself as a self-contained town. And so it's not surprising that they sort of just don't think about the impact of what they do or don't do on the neighbourhood, because we're kind of irrelevant to them. I had a conversation with someone about the bus station on the Hills Road side of the campus, and the manager I was talking to expressed vast surprise when I said that residents would go and get the bus from what he regarded as their bus station. You know, it's that kind of, I'm sure it's unconscious, but it becomes very limiting then when you're trying to get integrated solutions to things.
Obviously, there's not many people trying to get a bus there at the moment. But when you stand there, it's a very busy bus interchange, isn't it? But there's even more cyclists coming in and out continually at Addenbrookes. That's what amazes me at Addenbrookes. You realise the volume of traffic constant in and out. If you look at how many, not only the buses, which are very regular, but also the cyclists coming in and out, which are probably, I don't know what the ratio is to cyclists to cars, but I would imagine a lot of the cyclists going in and out are actually from the Cambridge area. So that's saving a lot of car journeys, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested, the campus produced a thing called its Transport Needs Review, which it published in early 2019, which gives you the whole breakdown of modal shifts and things it would like to see happen to get more people walking, cycling and getting the bus there. But it's actually quite a constrained location. I mean, it's indicative of how much Cambridge has grown. Addenbrookes moved from Trumpington Road out to the current site because it was on the edge of town, and it's not on the edge of town now. So every additional research institution or clinical unit you put in is bringing more staff and more patients into the same constrained site. And I've lived here for just over 20 years. No, despite the ambition for the site and the amount of growth that's gone on in those 20 years, there really haven't been any significant achievements by way of making it easier for people to get there other than by car, which I think is lamentable.
So what would you like to see happen as a member of a local community who, I realise we focused a lot more perhaps on Adam Brooks and the campus than we thought we would, but it is quite a key conversation area. Although I have to say, my colleague Rob Turner seems to think it's a great place to park your bike. The only person I've met in Cambridge who does. I'm sure he just says that to wind me up, though, to be honest.
I'd like to get a train there. That'd be good.
Oh, yeah. Now, Sam, you do. You actually, before I ask you what you'd like to see happen, Sam, just hold that thought, because now we had this conversation, didn't we, before we came on air. You were saying you do have an issue, don't you, with the proposed railway station at Adam Brooks when it comes to it linking in with the whole transport plan for the campus. But it's not just Queen Edith's, is it? It's that whole area of Cambridge, Trumpington, and in a way the Shelfords as well, isn't it? Very much so, it will affect it.
Yeah. So Cambridge South Station, if it's done properly, is going to be a massive asset, absolutely massive asset. But my concerns are in part an expansion on what we've already talked about, but no one's taking responsibility for how you will get people there. It's also partly about the size of the station itself. This is drifting away from cycle talk a little bit, but I think it's important. Network Rail are proposing a station which they think will have 1.8 million passenger trips a year. They should be designing it for 5 million, 6 million, 7 million. And if they don't accept the need for that bigger footfall, then every other aspect of the connectivity they put in will be under spec. So that's a really big headache at the moment, because they keep reverting to an excuse of, well, the Treasury says this is the size we have to build it at. And if the biomedical campus is this unique phenomenon in the UK and indeed in Europe, then I don't understand why there can't be some flexibility on the Treasury standard methodology for taking it. And the third thing I wanted to say is, we've talked a little bit about cycle parking. There are issues around cycle theft, as we all know, at Cambridge Station. I'm very anxious about how we avoid a repetition of that at Cambridge South. I'm also really bothered about the safety of people particularly coming across from the Trumpington side to get there, because there's been, a 2-3 year history of attacks on the southern end of the guided busway, and this last year on the DNA path out to Shelford as well. People aren't going to use those routes if they don't feel safe using them, and we know that people will be coming off shift late at night. We know that there's a, very significant female workforce on the campus. If they don't feel safe accessing it by bike, they simply won't. And so all of the promises that are made about this being a transformational facility simply won't be delivered on.
And I guess it's only fair to point out that the number of journeys in relationship to attacks, it's for knowing that an individual has been attacked is probably in people's mind making it far bigger. I don't mean to belittle any one attack, but the point is, this is a case, isn't it, that it's, for most people, it's a very safe journey. But it's the fact that there needs to be something in place to make these one-off things, incidents, so they don't happen, isn't it, really, as best they can?
Yes, because it's the fear that will deter people from using it. And as cyclists, we all know that there is safety in numbers. That applies when we use the roads, but it also applies to people using these quieter paths.
Sam, I've really enjoyed our conversation, actually, about I'd quite like to chat to more about it, because I think you look at this from a different viewpoint from perhaps from most professional people or journalists or people involved in the media, in the fact that you're doing it as someone who actually lives there and you're it's on your doorstep. So it doesn't really matter where you live. There are issues I think you've brought up which people can relate to their own environments and their own everyday places, because this isn't an issue just unique to Cambridge, is it? Going to lighten the mood a little bit. So let's do that. No, not at all. No, it's very important. This is the quiz Rob Turner wants to play, but Rob, you're not ever going to play on my programme. Exactly.
It's time to play Spin That Wheel.
And today's guest on the bicycle is Sam Davis, MBE. And she has kindly stood up to play Spin That Wheel. It's the quiz. It's the quiz everyone wants to play, to be honest. Most people we've been contacting about coming on this new series of Behind the Bike Shed, the one thing they say is, can we play Spin That Wheel? And I think it's ever since Phil Liggett decided he wanted to play Spin That Wheel. And if you don't know cycling, just think of Murray Walker, the cycling version of Murray Walker, and you're thinking of Phil Liggett, trust me. A world leader in all things cycling for most people, for sure. So,
let's play Spin That Wheel.
So, Sam, this is 3 minutes of questions relating to your personal experience and cycling. The great thing about this quiz is you know the answers before me. You're going to get every one of these answers right. How good is that for everybody, hey? So, are you ready, Sam?
Ready and willing.
Spin that wheel.
Let's play Spin That Wheel.
It's time to play Spin That Wheel.
Yes, it is. I don't know. That's the one.
Let's play Spin That Wheel.
So, Sam, what's your earliest memory of cycling?
My earliest memory of watching cycling is watching the dockyard workers come out of Portsmouth Dockyard, because that's where I lived, and in the 1970s there were still thousands of them coming out at the end of a shift on bike. My earliest personal memory is the day I worked out I was actually tall enough to be able to ride my mum's bike, which felt like a massive achievement.
I love those memories. That's got to be some of the best we've had. We like that one. What type of cycling do you enjoy most?
I think relaxed is the word. Somewhere warm, preferably, and not very ambitious.
And how often do you cycle, Sam?
Oh, I mean, it's utility cycling. It's getting around town. So at the moment, not much, because in line with government advice, I'm not really going anywhere. But under normal circumstances, you know, many times a week.
So what sort of bicycle or bicycles do you currently pedal? And if it's, which one is your favourite?
So the bike I pedal is my Giant, and I know exactly how old it is. It was a present to myself 3 months after my oldest son was born, in an attempt to get me back on a bike and out and fit again. So that's my regular bike. We have the tandem that my husband and I used to ride, but that's safely locked away and won't be making an appearance for quite some time. And my favourite bike is the bike that my husband uses to get him out of the house and under my feet.
What would be the perfect dream cycle ride for you? Whereabouts in the world would it be, and with whom?
It would probably be with my husband. I have to think about that.
Right answer, if he's listening.
It would be in France and probably up in the Vercors, which is just beautiful.
Closer to home, where is your favourite area to cycle around Cambridge?
Queen Edith. I like pottering around Queen Edith on my bike. I like, because it's social, because I know people, and it's, you know, you just interact with everyone and everything as you go around.
You're like Rob Turner. You should go for a cycle ride with our Rob Turner, because he likes that. That's his sort of cycling. And what's the longest distance you've ever cycled, Sam?
105 kilometres. I remember it and will remember it forever, because we were touring in France. We had to get to Sarlat, which in the Dordogne, which was where we were going to camp overnight. And there were 7 campsites there, and the only one that had any space was the 7th.
Do you prefer cycling on your own or in a group with other people?
On my own.
Spin that wheel.
Well done. Excellent. I didn't get to ask you a question. Which one improvement do you think would encourage more people to enjoy cycling here in Cambridge? But I didn't ask you that one. But I've asked you now. What do you think? Briefly, what would be your... What one thing do you think people should... we should be thinking about to get people off cycling?
Well, this is a... You know, I could give you lots of answers about infrastructure, but actually, particularly at the moment, I would love us to develop a sports cycling facility in Cambridge, because when my boys were younger, we used to have to drive them down to Lee Valley or to Welwyn Wheelers. And I would absolutely love to have a place where they could have experimented with road and track and BMX and whatever else they wanted to, because I really fundamentally believe that if you could get children enthused and confident and skilled, then you are just creating such beneficial circumstances moving forward.
Thank you, Sam. With an answer like that, Sorry, Martin, you want to say something?
I've lived around here for 25 years, and we've been promised this Milton Rowan Lake cycling facility, and... quarter of a century, that's been mooted. Still nothing here. Such a shame.
It will happen.
It's a really wasted opportunity.
You're listening to Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105 Radio. Coming up in a moment, we have a short break and we shall chat more to our guests here today, Martin Holland, Ely Cycling Club, mechanicking Rob Turner, and our guest on a bicycle today, Sam Davis, who has just given us a very excellent 20 minutes of conversation and thought.
105 Radio.
More of the tunes from Cambridge's past on Too Good to Be Forgotten. Next.
Kickstart your weekend.
Saturday Breakfast with Matt Webb.
I'm here every weekend to get you moving. I have the latest from the Cambridge News Desk on the hour and half hour. Problems on the A14, Newmarket Road or Mill Road? Well, if there are, you'll be the first to know in the travel. There's a full sports roundup at 8:30, including what's happening at Cambridge United and our other local clubs. Plus a look at the Saturday papers and local online publications at 10 to 9. That's Saturday Breakfast with me, Matt Webb, this weekend from 8.
What does wealth mean to you? Security, health, choices. Good financial planning can provide the freedom and peace of mind to live life your way. At Schroders Personal Wealth, we have an advisor based in Cambridge who can work with you to create your own personal plan. So whatever wealth means to you, we're here to help you feel confident in your financial future. To arrange an initial no-obligation, no-cost conversation with your local advisor, please contact us on 01223 739 790 or visit spw.com. Schroders Personal Wealth. Wealth is personal. Eligibility criteria, fees and charges apply.
Two classic decades. 1 hour. Too good to be forgotten.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Well, we're certainly classic, but we're not a decade here. We're more than a decade old. So I think perhaps the advertising break got a little bit out of sync there, didn't it? Now, before we went to our break, Sam Davis from Queen Edith Ward, MBE, she was telling us about the her concerns about bicycle theft and that sort of stuff happening around Adam Brooks, and not specifically Adam Brooks, I have to say, but around the city. And here's some sobering thought. My panel, do any of my panel, would you like to take a guess? Approximately how many to the nearest 1,000 bicycles do you think stolen last year in Cambridge?
It's about 3,000, isn't it?
Higher.
6?
Higher.
No way.
7.5.
Allegedly... approximately 9,000 cycles have stolen each year here in Cambridge, which comes to about £3.5 million. But of course, it doesn't include the cost to the individuals as well when that happens. Could well be that people have lost shifts, of course. People on low incomes definitely need their bicycles to get around Cambridge to work. We were chatting about the a lot of the support workers there at places like Addenbrookes, weren't we? And but, you know, to give their credit, Cambridgeshire Police last year, during 2020, they arrested over 70 people in connection to bicycle crime. So well done, guys. We appreciate that. Keep up the good work. Now, Rob, Silver Street and Trumpeton Street in Cambridge, where you for many years were based in the day job. Have you seen the new junction arrangements?
No, I haven't been through there recently. Should I cycle through?
Yeah, very good now. Now, when you going along, Trumpton Street has priority over Silver Street. So if you're coming out of Silver Street, you then have to stop to turn left or right down King's Parade or right down Trumpton Street, which I think most people would say was a much long-awaited improvement.
Always a hot spot, particularly in this icy weather. We used to see people come tumbling off that corner all the time, so far better to stop rather than sweep round.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely with all those vehicles now, because of the you know, the different system, don't they, and the barrier along there, I think the priority is definitely in the right place for that, isn't it? We just spoke about bicycles being stolen. Greater Anglia have donated, that's Greater Anglia, the railway people, they have donated, we say donated, 300 bicycles to Recycle, which is a charity which takes used bicycles and ships them to rural communities in Africa. And the stations, the bicycles were left at various stations across the Anglia network. So that's Cambridge Cycle Point as well. That would be included in that. And it's a bit of a thing because I'm amazed that the bicycles were left there long enough to be abandoned and not stolen, if I'm being honest, when you hear those numbers we heard earlier about that one, isn't it? Martin?
The law, that's the law of sod, that is, isn't it?
What's it? What, Martin, what's it like Ely Railway Station for bicycle parking? Any opinion?
I haven't actually used it. I use a station occasionally, and there is some bike parking on the side by the car park, but it doesn't look to be a vast amount of it. So I can't really comment on that hugely because it's not something I've used, I'm afraid.
You're a lot of good. All right, no, fair enough. That's because that's what happens when you live at the end of a track in Haddenham, isn't it? In the middle of a fence, you're just thinking, what bicycle problems? I just get on my bike and go across a ploughed field, don't you? When you won't go on yours, don't you?
Exactly, yeah.
So I know what, actually, Martin, before I move on, looking through the mailbag here, I'd quite like to know, because I know that yourself, Cambridge Junior Cycle Club and Ely Cycle Club, because you're very big into training youngsters, aren't you, and getting youngsters on bicycles. I know Cambridge Junior Cycle Club got together after the last lockdown. You guys were doing stuff for young people as well, weren't you?
We were, yeah. I mean, we've had a stop again now, but we were from when the first lockdown ended. We got started again as soon as we could, and numbers went up. The numbers doubled what was having coming to our sessions from prior to lockdown to coming out of lockdown. So it was very encouraging. Normally in the winter time, when we change the clocks, we go to running our sessions over 1 hour and sort of splitting the children between us. But this year we had to keep going 2 hour sessions because the numbers were that great that we couldn't manage them. Splitting them up like that, so we had to stand out in the cold for 2 hours instead of 1 hour, which is really, really encouraging and really, really good to see. It's just a shame that when lockdown happens, we can't do anything again. So hopefully come sort of towards the end of February, beginning of March, we should be back up and running again and have more kids come in enjoying their cycles.
I'm sure we all take our hats off to yourselves and Cambridge Junior Cycle Club because it's so important to keep youngsters, isn't it, coming through. And, of course, Cambridge Tri Club do a very similar thing as well, don't they? This is the Hazingfield Greenway route, which is the last of the 12 Greenway routes into Cambridge, Rob. Greater Cambridge Partnership, and these are purely extensive network for walking and cycling, aren't they? And unfortunately, horse riding, just a personal thing coming in there.
Well, don't you like to see a good horse?
Yeah, no, I
surely.
Do. I'm just being...
It's part of getting out in the country and...
Yeah, no,
it's not the horses, it's what they leave behind.
No, it's a great resource for the people coming in from outside. It's a great resource for us that are riding outwards as well. You know, it's a lovely, safe route. So
yeah, and it's good that that's all just area. That's all been approved now. So as they put it, it's the final piece in the puzzle of getting the funding in place to do that. And they're hoping they're all going to be up and running by the end of 2028, which I think is quite ambitious. And the first one should be there by 2024.
And Sam brought back some lovely memories for me as well with Portsmouth and people coming out of the docks there. Marshalls used to be just the same in the 60s. You know, you'd be coming home from school and you'd see the barriers go up and then a flood of cyclists come whizzing out all at the same time. Yeah, just a lovely, lovely sight.
My great-granddad used to tell me about that, Rob. Didn't realise you were... If only. Our friend Emily Cherry, who is the Chief Executive Officer of bikeability.org.uk, she has, we could have mentioned this because it's lockdown time, but they have a competition. You can design your dream cycling jersey and you can win yourself a Frog bicycle, which they're good bikes, aren't they, Rob? Frogs?
They're wonderful bikes, yeah.
Yeah. You have until the 29th of January to take part. You need to go to their website. And unfortunately, though, you have to be... I've only just read this, folks. You have to be a child to take part in this. It's for children only. I'm sorry about this, because it's very unfortunate, because I asked all my three panellists if they could design me a shirt. So this is going to work really well on radio. Martin, describe your shirt to us and hold your picture up.
I'll hold my picture up. You probably won't see it very well.
It's very good.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah.
There was a rug appeared on some adverts on social media before Christmas, and it looked like a hole dropping in infinity. I think that on the front of the jersey would look fantastic.
Yeah, I think you've probably spent a lot of time already on your own in lockdown, haven't you?
Yeah.
Rob, let's have a look at yours, my friend.
Here we are, yeah. Now, as you can see, it's based on a zebra. You know, it's zebra stripes. They're very slimming, and it's a jungle out there, you know, Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a savanna out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
No zebras in the jungle. No.
I think it's quite an interesting one, although Sam did mention zebra crossings earlier, didn't she?
Oh, no.
And you could have a bit of an issue, couldn't you, there? If you pull up at Addenbrooke, someone might think you're of a zebra crossing. But you're very artistic. We've left the best till last because I think Sam has shown a lot of creativity over the last hour. Sam, your jersey.
I'm afraid on this front I can demonstrate zero creativity. As long as it's warm and washable, really, that's the extent of my interest. I just don't give a damn what it looks like. So I'm afraid I'm a total wipeout on this challenge.
We just, us three chaps just looked at each other when you said washable. It hadn't even crossed our minds, had it? We're not like, well, that's very good. We knew we were practical. So if you'd like to, this is a great thing to do, I would imagine. You could probably do as a lockdown activity with your child. They are great bikes, Frog bikes. And so if you go to bikeability.org.uk, thanks, Emily, for letting us know about it. And, of course, we're more than happy to talk about that sort of stuff for people from there. Now, I've got one more story, which I think is quite interesting. We've got a few minutes left. We've got about 2 minutes left. We can chat about it very quickly. Basically, there's been the road collision reporting guidelines have been produced. A collaboration of various interested parties, including Cycling UK, and the idea is to encourage journalists to use different wording when they're writing about road traffic accidents. So rather than you have the words of zombie pedestrian or lycra louts, you just tend to be rather neutral about it, so you're not putting anything across, which, to be fair, in my newspaper days was always drummed into you anyway. So, but there you go. So that's the way when we talk about we're writing or broadcasting about road collisions and RTA, we need to try to do it using less provocative words. What do you think to that, Rob? Is that a good idea?
It must be good practice. It's got to be, hasn't it, really? You can't inflame a situation by using provocative language.
Because I do think of situations where people say they weren't wearing a helmet and it might not have any relevance to do with that accident, will it?
Not to the collision at all, yeah, or to the outcome.
On people for it. You've been listening to Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105 Radio, and I'd like to say a thank you to all my guests here. Thanks to Sam Davis, MBE, from Queenie. I promise when you come back, assuming you'll come back next time, although we might get your husband on instead of you, Sam. He does sound quite an interesting guy. Not that you're not.
I'm not an interesting guy, no.
No, yeah, you're not. I beg your pardon. Yeah, yeah, you'll probably be a different host by then if bosses are listening. Thanks, Sam. I hope you can come back on the programme again sometime. And share some of your thoughts about cycling. And we did enjoy your spin mat wheel, especially the your early memory of cycling. I think that's one of our favourites, wasn't it? Thank you, of course, to Martin Holland there from Ely Cycling Club. And I hope, Martin, you get yourself out doing plenty of miles soon. And thanks to Mechanicking Rob Turner, as always. And Rob, no doubt you'll be back within a couple of weeks joining us as well, won't you?
That'll be lovely. Thank you.
Coming up next here on Cambridge 105 Radio, Brian O'Reilly with O'Reilly Country. Unfortunately, I haven't got time to tell you anything else.
Radio.